What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Lauda, what do you got?
So we all love animals around here, especially in the show.
Well, we know Cap sort of loves
except,
them.
Yeah, Cap to an extent. Is a little on the fence.
Just depends on how much his injury costs.
I mean, I wasn't going to throw Cap
well,
under
I mean,
the
if we're being honest, Laura. I mean, we know this. And
I mean, I know you guys would totally do it, so I didn't have to do it.
He's
you know?
Admitting it, too. I mean, you know.
Okay, so Cap, maybe you can redeem yourself with this, okay?
Oh.
So the LA County Animal Services is launching a campaign to have big dogs adopted. They don't get adopted as much as little dogs, so they don't make them make it out of the shelters. They're partnering with Best Friend Animal Society, and the campaign is called Live Large, Adopt a Big Dog. So the fees are going down. It's only $22. It covers the microchip, the spading, the neutering of the big dog. So you know what? Maybe you can redeem yourself by adopting a big dog. You want to work out, you want to lose some weight, you need a dog that's gonna make you go outside, Cap. So you know what, you could do this and adopt a big dog.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes,
first of all, I would love to have a big dog, and if I got a big dog, you know what I'd name him?
I'm a little scared to ask, but go ahead.
George, Lindsay, let me tell you, you want to know, I'm gonna name the dog Big Dog so that I can call him Big Dog, like the way Alex Toussaint talks to me during a 45-minute Club Bangers ride on Peloton. He said, let's go, Big Dog. So I would have a big dog, and I'd call him Big Dog. But, Laura, how big is a big dog? Like, are we talking?
Well, I think when you think little dog, you think, like, 20 pounds or less.
Yeah, they're bigger dogs. Like, the ones that I saw on the article that I was reading. Thank you, Lindsay, for sending it to me, by the way. You know, I saw, like, a pit bull and then, like, a Great Dane, I think, was in there.
Great
and
Dane,
stuff
that's
like
a
that.
Gigantic dog. Pit bulls I'm petrified of.
Why? They're Why beautiful dogs.
I had one when I was young.
I'm scared, man.
It's not the dog. It's the human that raised them.
Yeah. Let's get that
just
straight.
I'm afraid of them. That's all. I'm afraid that like I'm going to be like, oh, you're so cute.
They got bad so branding cute. In the 80s and 90s.
Right. And then all of a sudden they're biting my face.
So if you guys want to adopt a big dog, I can't because I'm trying to move. So I'm not trying to pay the doggy fee, you know. So I can't do it right now. But it's $22. The campaign is going until January 31st. So you guys still have some time. The goal is to get 500 or more big dogs out of the shelters. So if you guys can do that, go ahead and, you know, adopt a dog. It's only $22. That's really cheap. That's actually
that is really,
really
cheap,
cheap,
man.
Because you get the microchip and the spay and neutering, that alone, you know, it's ridiculous. So
you got golden
bucks.
Retrievers?
I'm sure they do. And
golden retrievers are harder to come by because people will adopt them very quickly, even for big dogs.
How about like a nice Weimaraner?
Weimaraner's an expensive-ass dog like that. So chances are you won't find very many of those in a shelter. I mean, I'm not saying you can't, but.
Cap, you
should
go
on like the shelter website. Yes. You know,
and
check
just,
out
check
the
it
dogs
out.
They've got.
Check it out. Check it out, Cap. Check it out.
I mean, you want to get another dog?
Not really.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think you need another dog because you don't even want to take care of the one you have.
Right. You just let him get really fat.
I've been walking this dog a lot lately. I've been putting this dog on an outdoor treadmill. I've been making this dog. I'm like, yo, I'm losing weight. You're losing weight. Let's go.
Good. You should. You want him to... The way you make him live better or longer is that, is exercise and make sure his teeth are good.
Yes, their teeth. Because the rescue that I have... Bless her little soul. She's like 4 pounds, and it's so hard for her to eat.
Yeah, you got to have good teeth because that also is a lot to do with the heart and stuff. And that goes for humans, too, by the way. Yeah. You should always brush your teeth, floss, all that stuff.
Hey, I hope everybody's hearing that. George says brush your teeth and floss.
Yeah, well, Greg Bergman didn't floss, remember?
That's true. No, I'm saying it's great advice. Thank you.
We found out. He was like, do I got to floss, really?
Yes, you do.
I mean... It was like, really, bro?
So yes, go adopt a dog, $22.
But I would imagine there's a lot of people. I'm sorry, Laura. Go ahead. I stepped all over that.
It's okay. $22. It goes until January 31st. Go adopt a big dog.
Yeah. I would imagine there's a lot of people skimming on the floss. Like, Bergman can't be alone.
That's nasty.
That is
I agree.
Nasty.
But you have to admit, there's probably a lot of lazy people that don't like the floss every day.
Lately, I've gone from, like, the traditional floss where it
Go
takes,
the flossers.
Yeah, now I just use that little picky thing, you know?
Yeah, the flossers.
Like, they're great.
Yeah, so those much easier. Like, you just started that?
Well,
where
no,
have you been
I've,
the last, like, it, 20
no,
years?
I've they're not as effective, though.
No, I've made a full conversion, though.
But it's
you know?
Easier.
You know what you get?
The best trick is to get a water pick.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Water
That's
pick
what I was
going to
say. I was like, if you want to be really lazy.
Yeah.
I got one, and it's changed my life.
Really?
Yeah,
like
water,
water
pick
is something I get and I never use.
No, I use mine every day, like twice a day. It's the best thing I've
ever
done.
It's so good. I mean, when you're brushing your teeth, just use it.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
It's way easier than flossing.
It is way easier. Yes, 100%. Because you just like you put the little thing near your teeth and it just goes zzz, and it goes yep. right through. Same thing.
A water pick. Okay.
It's so awesome.
Yeah.
Game changer.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's like 50 or 60 bucks, or you can buy one so a little cheaper. But yeah.
Wait. Hold on. There's four of us. Three of you guys all regularly use a water pick.
No, I don't use a water pick, but I've been contemplating it because I've seen the commercial so much.
I bought one like a month ago, and it's like the best thing that I bought. I bought it with one of my gift cards I got for Christmas, and it was like 60 bucks, and it's like the actual like water pick brand. I looked at all the reviews and everything, and it's seriously the best thing I've bought in years.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, you can get the water pick brand. They sell it at like Bed Bath & Beyond and those places, you know. And you can probably get it at Amazon too.
There's so many. I bought the one at my dentist's office. That one was a little bit more because it comes with a bunch of other stuff.
Oh, look at you going extra. You're like capo.
I am extra. When it comes to my teeth, I am.
Yeah, you know why too, because when she posts those selfies, like the one she did this past weekend on Instagram, where she said, "That's right, y'all. Your girl just washed her hair." When that happened, she got to show off those pearly whites, baby.
Yeah, man. I ain't mad at you. All right, that is what you need to know. Brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times list of 90 minutes from wherever you are. You get a little 2-for-1. You got the the adoption of the dogs and a water pick conversation. Right. Flossing. Yeah, there you go. All right, real quick on the Lakers. Let's do a little temperature check. Win at Orlando, which, look, let's face it, it was like, I know Russ was asked if it was a must-win. He's like, I don't think anything's a must-win, blah, blah, blah. It's a must-win, bro. You can't be losing to Orlando, okay?
Orlando had 8 wins going into the game.
Yeah, you can't be losing to Orlando, so that was a must-win. And then they were getting absolutely blasted last night, okay? Like, just blasted yesterday afternoon, down 26 in the second quarter. And they made a game of it. It was literally a two-possession game with a minute to go. And I was like, oh, man, they might pull this thing off.
Yeah, but I'm going to make an admission here right now, George.
You didn't watch a second of it.
Not one solitary.
Even the highlight, bro?
Okay, no. I watched the highlight. And I actually had the score on my phone. Mm-hmm. But it seems so out of control.
Let me ask you a question. You don't own an iPad?
Yeah, I don't use an iPad.
I was just going to say, you can just put it on, like, the iPad.
Yeah, I don't use it. Listen.
Why? You have a tool. Use the tool. If I told you you needed to nail a nail into the wall, and I told you you could use a shoe or a hammer, wouldn't you use the hammer?
Yeah, I would, of course.
Of course. It's the right tool. You've got tools. Use the tools.
The tool that I was using yesterday, because I was in a monogamous relationship with the NFL.
Oh, my God.
Okay? There was nothing that the
Cheat
Lakers...
Cheat a little, bruh.
Ay, no, Dios mío. You've got all these TVs. You've got all this stuff. You can watch more than one thing at a time, bro.
I'm just going to say this. The NFL had earned my eyeballs and my attention through the first 3 games. I had the Lakers score on my phone. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what? I don't need to be flipping back and forth when I'm watching an instant classic. And, oh, by the way, I'm watching this Bills-Chiefs game again on replay on the NFL Network tonight. Last night, I decided...
Are you really watching the replay of a game that you already saw?
Yeah.
Listen, I love basketball, okay? Love it. Outside of when the beginning stages of the pandemic, when all we had was old games, and I thought that was cool for like a little while, I ain't going back and watching a game I literally just saw. Maybe if you tell me there's like some sort of anniversary, like the Tuck Rule game or something, and I was like a Raider fan or something, or not a Raider fan actually, if I were like a Pats fan, or maybe a Brady fan, maybe I'd watch something like that, or like, I don't know, famous game.
Have you ever watched a movie more than once and learned things the second time that you didn't pick up the first time?
Yeah, but it's a movie. People watch movies repeatedly all the time.
Were you not entertained by this game yesterday?
No, here's the difference between sports and a movie. Yeah. Number one, there is a bazillion hours of analysis after every single game. There isn't like nobody does the ESPN or Fox Sports or whatever version of a movie. You can't go watch Spider-Man Returns Home, or what was the name of the movie you saw?
Spider-Man something about something. Right. I know the movie you're talking about.
Okay. The Spider-Man movie you saw. You can't like turn on, you know, the movie channel and it be like some sort of breakdown of the movie. Like, you've got breakdown of the game everywhere. Like, okay. How could you have missed anything after that?
Well, you know what then? Then maybe instead of watching the replay of Buffalo, Kansas City tonight, maybe what I'll do then.
Why don't you finish Ted Lasso, for God's sake?
Because I'm about to start Ozark. That's why.
You're that guy who never finishes anything, just wants to start a new thing.
I'm only a couple
of episodes. How many books have you read in your life?
A few. I mean, maybe a couple.
Okay, hold on, hold on. Yeah. Lindsay, if you had... No, wait. Lindsay, if you had to guess, how many books do you think Kaplan has read in his life?
In his life?
From beginning to end.
Like recreationally, not for school.
Say... I mean, even for school, okay? But as 20. An adult. As 20. An adult. Okay. 20
is okay. Good.
Thank you, Lindsay.
In his life. That's so we're including number, school and as an adult. 20, beginning to end. Okay. Laura, how many?
Did you read them like entirely, right? The entire book?
Beginning
right.
to end.
Whole book.
12.
Yeah, okay. I would say 10.
Respectable number.
I'm going to say 10. I'm going to go lower than that even. I would say whatever summer readings you had to do as a child, and even then you probably bought the Cliff Notes. Yeah. But like I would say less than 10 if I had to guess.
Just so I know, because
you're going to lie, but go ahead.
I'm just curious. Well, just so I understand this, though. Remember, I said I could do 50 push-ups. You said that was a bad idea.
Yes, I told you do 40.
Right. How many books have you read?
How many have I read? I'm not a book person, but I've probably read, as an adult?
All said and done.
Probably. Oh, well, I mean, I had to read them in school.
Same,
I'm not
same
counting.
Qualification, because I'm just trying to get a
benchmark
here.
Okay, but in
here.
School, I had to read a lot. So, unfortunately, there's probably 25 to 35 books just in my high school years that I had to read. Uh-huh. I don't remember before that. But so if I included my adult life, probably less than that. So I'd say 50.
50. You couldn't stop at 40. You had to go to 50, huh?
No, I'm just saying I probably read 35 books in high school and probably 15 as an adult that I've chosen to read.
It is true, though. I admit it. I'll start a book and then plan on coming back to it and then never get back.
Never
to it.
Never getting back to it.
Right. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
I bet you started that Outliers book by Malcolm Gladwell about the 10,000 hours and then page 70 you stopped somewhere.
At around 9,950 hours or so, I stopped reading it. Yeah.
You're such an idiot. Yeah, that's you. I totally see that. That's why you are you. You won't even finish the damn show that everyone wants you to watch on this show so we can talk about it for the damn show.
All right. I'll watch it. I'm going to watch it, and then I'm going to get to
the new season is probably going to start, and you're still in season two.
I could have had Danny Rojas, and you didn't finish the show, so he couldn't come on.
He can come on?
No, then he's
no.
Gonna, no.
No, it's punishment. That's castigado.
Football is life.
Yeah, we don't have that dude because you haven't finished the season.
Castigado.
Oh, I guess I shouldn't start Ozark then.
Yes.
And I probably shouldn't watch the replay of the Bills and the Chiefs.
I mean, for the love. Anyway, all right. This portion of the show is presented by Alignment Health Plan, changing healthcare one person at a time. Look, I'll say this: Anthony Davis is coming back. That's good, okay? Because they're playing Brooklyn tomorrow. So, now, granted, it's only James Harden, but they lost to only James Harden on Christmas. So, there you go. So,
well, let's see him get back and listen. Get back and think long term. Don't think about being great in the short term. Get into shape. And be ready for the playoffs. That's
all
that matters.
I wouldn't play him 30 minutes or whatever. I would just, have a game plan, just to bring him back slowly. All right, coming up, we're going to get back to the Lakers later because I mentioned a couple minutes ago, right? LeBron's doing the thing that I like when he does. It's kind of funny when he does this thing, just this little passive-aggressive thing that he does. Oh, I love it. I love it so much. We'll get to that later, though. And we got Radio Tinder at 5:30. But coming up next, does the way the Rams have played concern you heading into the next round? Or does it actually make you feel better that they were able to come from behind with the four turnovers? Or not from behind, but overcome the four turnovers. We'll get into that on the other side. Stick around.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Actually, Christopher, I was more of a face guy, or maybe even Hannibal occasionally, but I liked being face on the A-team.
You didn't like being Murdoch?
Yeah, I also was not a big kid, so I couldn't beat B.A. Baracus. Like, B.A.
Baracus was great.
Was like for the big kid who wanted when we were pretending. Like, I had my neighbor when I was growing up was a kid named Frank, and he was a big, strong kid. Like, he was built big, right? Mm-hmm. And it was like he played B.A. when we pretended to be the A team because he was a big kid.
I remember being a kid back in that time, and Mr. T had become kind of a big star because of another show before the A-Team called Games People Play. And they would take, like, dwarf dudes, and they would pick them up. They were bouncers, and they'd throw them down a bowling alley. And it was like America thought that was funny, you know? Mm-hmm. And we met this guy, Mr. T. He's this bouncer, this tough guy from Chicago. He's got a mohawk and a whole bunch of gold chains. So they're at the Super Bowl, I want to say NBC, and whoever the reporter is, maybe, I mean, who knows who it was back then. They go up into the crowd. We're here with Mr. T, who's got a new show debuting on NBC called The A-Team. Mr. T, what do you want to say to everybody out there? And he goes, let me tell you something, foo. If you don't watch The A-Team, I'm going to come to your house. I'm going to take your TV. I'm going to give it to somebody who want to watch The A-Team. You feel me, sucker?
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I'm watching The A-Team. And I never missed an episode. Not one, George. And I love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It was a great show back in the day on NBC. And, you know, now I'm pretty sure, you know, remember, his first role was actually Clubber Lang in Rocky III. That was before the A-Team.
Really?
That got him the A-Team.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's how he became kind of he came on the scene. And then he also while he was on the A-Team, like, he wrestled with, like, Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
Like, he was, like, his tag team partner
right.
and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then he was really in, like, kind of, like, everyone's, like, public consciousness at that point. Yes. So, but yeah, I loved the A-Team.
Me too.
Yeah. Good show. Those shows, if you remember back then, and we played the theme song, like, there were a lot of, like, kind of, like, cool shows back then. You had the A-Team. You had Knight Rider with Hasselhoff.
And Kit, don't you know, downplay Kit and his contribution to that show.
Yeah, yeah, him and his robotic British voice. Was it a British voice? I feel like it was.
Very, like, robotic-y, though, I'm with you. And was that a Trans Am back then?
It was a Trans Am, or maybe mm-hmm. a Firebird, perhaps. Nonetheless, Pontiac, or in that kind of General Motors, like, area.
Something that no longer, you know, is kind of around.
But Airwolf. Now, did you ever watch Airwolf on
USA?
Don't
have that in the repertoire. Don't remember Airwolf.
Really? Airwolf was a helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty awesome stuff. Pretty awesome stuff. I mean, that was the era of, like, fun, like, I don't know if they were, like, some of them were, like, detectives. Some of them were, like, not. Was, like, Michael Knight even a detective? What was he?
I don't know. Was he a vigilante of some kind?
Sort of, I guess. I feel like the A-Team were definitely, like, vigilantes or, like, guys for hire, right? For lack of a better phrase.
They were like the TV drama of Dog the Bounty Hunter kind of thing, you know?
Right, right. A scripted version of that. You had MacGyver who literally could, you know, turn on a car with, like, a ridged potato chip, you know? Like,
yeah, MacGyver was great. Very talented guy. Interesting skill set.
Yeah, TV back then had a lot of that, like those kind of guys that were just could do like really weird, crazy things. But Airwolf was good. Airwolf, Laura, if you Google Airwolf, I bet you could find the theme song for Airwolf, the intro on YouTube somewhere. And it's just like, something like that.
Laura, that would be good if we had it. This way we could do a comparison, a side-by-side analysis of whether or not George's do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do thing.
Here it is.
Yeah, man. Take a listen. YouTube has ads. You got to wait.
Where are
I mean, it's fairly close.
Where are the
Here
do-do-do-do's?
Here goes. There it is.
Spot on. There you go.
That's what I said. Spot on.
The trumpet. Oh, here we go. Another is like a trombone.
It's a nice complimentary horn section. I'll tell you that right now.
There you go. And now here come the strings and the trump. And here comes the brass section again. Here, it's bringing it all together. So if I would have told you, now that you've heard that song.
Yeah.
My like that thing was pretty close. You would have known what I was talking about.
You carried the tune, but you made me think that it was like a kazoo. When it was really
well,
a big
I mean,
horn
I'm not,
section.
You know, I can't impersonate a brass section.
No,
I'm
but if you would have given me more like bum 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 bum, like I would have known that it was like a very kind of, you know.
No, he was spot on, bro. Because
oh, really?
When you try to like do something, we're like, what? We never nail it. That was,
yeah,
that
you,
was good.
What do you think I am? Michael Winslow, the guy from Police Academy who does all the sounds with his voice? Like, I'm not trying to be that.
That's a good pull right there, because you know? if you would have ended it in Michael Winslow, I would have been like, who's that? But once you went on with his bio about his sound effects during Police Academy films,
yeah,
I was able to keep up.
So there you go.
Michael Winslow, really, dude?
Yeah, there you go. all right, real quick, Rams, are you concerned about the way they played, even though they survived? Or do you feel better because they were able to survive despite all that? Because I'll tell you this, the only one other team in NFL playoff history has had four turnovers or more in a playoff game and won, the 1975 Steelers. And Tom Brady, up until yesterday, had never lost a game when his opponent had four turnovers or more. He was 49-0, your boyfriend, okay? He's now 49-1 thanks to Matthew Stafford. How about that?
Yeah, well, the question is, are you concerned? And I think everybody's answer should be yes. But the thing is that we probably have been celebrating what a spectacular finish it was to even catch the breath to say, oh my God, it was 27-3. Then it was 27-6. They turned the ball over on downs. I mean, how did this all happen? 27-13, 27-20, 27-all. How did this all happen? So, yeah, I think that all Rams fans should be concerned, given that 3 weeks ago, when they played against the 49ers, the Rams had a 17-0 lead and lost that game. So,
yeah, I don't think so. I think those are teachable moments. I think you learn from that stuff.
Well, perhaps you do. And perhaps they did. They were up 17-0. They lost the game.
I don't think they play it the same way again. Like, I don't think they – I think that they got burned by the Niners. They almost got burned this weekend. I think if they get up, they are sweeping the leg like they do it – like the, you know, the John Kreese said to do to the Cobra Kai and Karate Kid to Daniel LaRusso.
Wait a second. Who said what to who?
John Kreese said it to the Cobra Kai, to Johnny and all the guys in the Cobra Kai about Daniel LaRusso. They
he
wanted
said
him to sweep
the
leg.
Okay,
don't let him do the crane kick, you know?
Right, right. And then there was Mr. Miyagi on the other side.
Right, who then did the thing, you know, the hands, and he rubbed the hands, right, and he, you know, he saved the leg,
right,
and, you know, we're
no
good to go.
Fear,
crane
Daniel-san.
Kick, kick your ass.
Right.
I am the man who will fight for your honor. Movie right. over, credits rolling, let's go. Right.
No fear. Yeah. Nothing to fear, but fear. Can't have that, Daniel-san.
Yeah.
Get up there and crane kick this guy.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, yeah, I'm concerned, though, George.
Okay.
Because
– see, I think the Rams are going to crane kick the Niners this week.
Well, look, I hope that they do. Wouldn't it be great to see the Rams get out to another 17-point lead, only this time hold on, and maybe not even hold on, put the pedal to the metal and keep it going? But
I think that they are no longer going to try to – like in soccer, there's a term called park the bus, right? Like when you're trying to take the air out of the ball or, you know, like kind of run the clock out or whatever – they're not going to do that anymore. They're not going to do that again.
Well, listen, again, you're up 27-3, and Tom Brady, you give him an opportunity to get it to 27-all, and you're lucky to walk out with the win, but you got it done, okay?
Yeah.
So now, with a team like San Francisco, you've weathered the storm against Tampa. You didn't do it against San Francisco.
Okay, and now's your chance. You got a third time's the charm. That's where I'm going with this.
I'm with you 1,000%. There's no way. Come on. They can't beat them three times in a row in the same season.
Well,
they can't beat them seven straight times. Come on.
I mean, they can, but I don't
think
it'll
happen. Right, but I mean, cosmically speaking, like, there's no way. It just can't happen.
All right. Coming up next, we'll be back in about 3 minutes and change. We got Radio Tinder, everybody's favorite segment. A lot of tweets coming in about Knight Rider, Airwolf, you know, all sorts of stuff. I'll read some of these tweets as well after Radio Tinder. All coming up. In just a moment. And after Radio Tinder, I'm going to get to that thing about LeBron. You know, and I love what he does when he does that thing, the thing with the passive-aggressive stuff. Yeah, he's doing that stuff again. We'll get to that after Radio Tinder. Stick around for all that. Coming up in 4 minutes, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Linz, what do you got?
All right, so Sedano, you're going to love this one to start with. At least I think you will. Okay. The Brooklyn Nets have launched their own virtual world called the, not Metaverse, but the Netaverse. Get it? Ah, yep, the Netaverse. Good. Netaverse. In a video posted to Twitter, the team said that it's the first pro sports team to introduce the technology. More than 100 cameras around the court will turn images into virtual renderings of the game. Do you guys think that other NBA teams or any pro sports teams at all are going to follow suit? Swipe left or swipe right, Cap?
I'm going to swipe right and say that they're all going to copy each other. They're all going to have it. If one of them's got it, then the next one's going to have it. And before long, yeah, I would think that every team is going to have the whole virtual world all about their brand. So, yes.
Yes, swiping right. Obviously, as you know, I'm big into the metaverse and all that stuff where I feel like the world is going. But and the NBA has already done some of this in the past with certain games. There was a Lakers game earlier this year that you could watch on those Oculus glasses. I believe it was a game in Memphis, if I recall correctly, earlier this season. So the NBA is certainly the sport that has gone all in on this stuff sooner rather than later. Maybe not all in, but has dabbled, I guess, rather. Sooner than anyone else has. And I think that basketball is actually kind of cool because here's the thing. It's the sport where you can put on your VR glasses and you can be courtside. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then you have this completely different view of the game that you would never get because those seats cost thousands of dollars. So whereas with football, you know, particularly NFL football, it's a little more challenging, I would say, because you're far away from the action, even in the first row, unless they're going to put you on the sideline, which is a possibility. But I would feel like the NBA and hockey, too, like you can get close to hockey, like where you're right up on the boards, like that would be kind of cool, too.
I'm starting to think, like, the more and more I hear about this stuff literally every day, I just need to get an Oculus because I feel like I'm missing out. I have serious FOMO.
It's $300. I mean, it's not cheap, but it's not like super duper expensive.
So yeah, all this stuff lives like if you just go get the Oculus, all this stuff is there like on an Apple TV. You're like, yo, there's Netflix, there's Hulu, whatever.
Well, I don't know because I don't own one, but I would imagine there's some sort of mechanism or ability for you to be able to log on to these experiences. Yes.
Yeah, that's the other thing is like I want to get it so I can see how it works, so I can know what these people are talking about. Like, is it like when you go onto like your Roku and you have a screen with all these different apps? I'm sure it's something like that, but yeah, I have serious FOMO, so I need to get one. Mm-hmm. All right, next story here. So former NBA player Rex Chapman has a new gig as he will join CNN as a host on its upcoming streaming subscription service. Chapman is most known for his social media presence where he consistently posts a range of positive and often lighthearted videos to his 1.1 million followers on Twitter. Much like Chapman's social media presence, CNN announced that he's going to host a weekly show that focuses on positive news. Well, despite his social media popularity, the move by CNN has not gone over well with everybody, with many pointing out that Chapman has capitalized on stealing others' content and not giving proper credit. Now, I follow Rex Chapman. He's a good follow, but I will say that those naysayers are not wrong with that observation. So do you guys think that people who are not otherwise qualified should get media jobs based on their social media following? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
I would also say he's not necessarily being hired for his social media following. And look, I think that there are many other examples of people who are not famous before social media, like Rex Chapman was famous before social media as a great college basketball player and a really good NBA player for a long time, whose career was derailed by his own doing with, you know, drugs and alcohol and whatnot, and has become someone who's been a pretty inspirational story getting back on the straight and narrow. So what? He's an old guy who didn't know how to use the internet for a little bit and started like tweeting stuff. And yes, you're right, Lindsay. He was taking people's stuff on social media. And by the way, by taking people's stuff, if you This is getting way too in the weeds.
But he still does. He does the exact same thing that you just accused Darren Rovell of doing.
But here's the thing. When he tweets out a video from someone else, at least at the bottom of the video, it says the original person's name. Darren Rovell literally cropped the person's name out. I would also say that's a little different.
I don't think he does that. And if he does, usually what I've noticed with Rex Chapman is that he'll take a video, he'll post it, and then in the mentions, he'll, like, a day later, he'll be like, credit to blah, blah, blah. So that's
Here. Why are we, it's like he's stealing somebody else's content versus he found it funny. He shared it.
He's amplifying it.
It helped make something that might be viral go more viral. And some television executive who's now a streaming executive said, you know, this Rex Chapman, former player, good inspirational story of recovery. He shares these positive posts. Why don't we turn it into a streaming TV show? You guys ever hear of like America's Funniest Videos? Aren't they stealing everybody else's content too?
That's true. That's a great point, Kaplan. And I would say this, that the show he's getting on CNN has nothing to do with viral videos anyway. The show is about is a sit-down show talking to other athletes about stuff they do off the floor or off the field. So that's more predicated on his own story of being a great athlete and his life spiraling out of control and eventually being able to kind of grab it and pull it back together. That has less to do about his internet prowess.
He wouldn't even be considered for any TV show or anything had he not.
I would say he had a pretty large following before he ever started tweeting videos. Because he was like tweeting stuff before videos and people saw it was him and a lot of people started following him. Now, I don't know what he has on social media now. My guess is probably close to 1 million, right? Maybe. I don't know.
It's 1.1 million.
Okay.
On Twitter.
I mean, he still had several hundred thousand before he started tweeting videos. So it's not like that's like small. I just think that people are hating on him, man. Like, you're focusing on the wrong thing if you're focusing on him putting up videos and amplifying videos. Kaplan on this.
I love your healthy skepticism. This is one of those moments, though, where I feel like people are just like, Rex Chapman just took everybody else's stuff. And now, look, it's benefiting him. That's not right. We need to take him down. Like, relax.
I'm not talking about taking anybody down, and I'm not upset about anything. I'm just pointing out the simple facts of the matter that, you know, he reposts other people's stuff. He's an aggregator.
Okay,
you know?
But I'll say this. ESPN did an E60 on him that had nothing to do with his video, his Twitter posts or anything like that. And that thing got a lot of play beyond what he posts on social media. And my guess is that the executive at CNN probably saw that more so. I'm sure he pops up online. But that part of his comeback story was probably played a bigger role in him getting a show on CNN than whatever he posts on Twitter.
Well, I mean, I hope so. I think I heard him on Bill Simmons' podcast a while ago. And his story, you know, like you said, it's just like Ryan Leaf, you know, good story. You know, things went south for a while, came back, and now he's made a living off of, you know, like what happened with his career and taking a negative turn. But I also think that, you know, I don't know if he'd be considered for hosting a show on CNN if he didn't have 1 million followers. But, you know, I wish him well on his show.
I mean, wow, you just gave my wish him well in his future endeavors. Like,
yeah, wish him well. Wish him well in his new show.
I got no ill will. I just don't think you deserve it.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead. One more, Lindsay. Go ahead.
All right. So UFC 270 was this past weekend, and as fewer states have made fighter pay publicly available, the subject of fight purses has remained a hot topic in the combat sports world. But UFC 270 took place in California, which still releases official purse figures. A lot of people were stunned to learn that half of the 22 fighters on the card had a base pay of $20,000 or less, mm-hmm. and that heavyweight champion Francis Ngannou and challenger Ciryl Gane made $600,000 and $500,000, respectively. Ngannou said that he's fulfilled his contract and that his time with UFC is over because he, quote, will not fight for $500,000 or $600,000 anymore. Do you guys think that Francis Ngannou will ever fight in UFC again? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
If I had to pick one, right, if you're going to ask me to make sure, I would swipe left. I don't think he's ever going to fight in the UFC again. I just think that he has clearly made a point. We have seen whether you like the Jake Paul stuff, and, you know, I'm not a huge fan of watching that stuff, I will say this, and I said it to his face when I saw him at the Lakers-Hawks game. I said, I really appreciate what you're doing for these fighters, because he is giving them an avenue, whether you like it or not, to make way more money than they've made previously. So in that regard, I respect what he does. I don't love the celebrity boxing stuff, but I think that, you know, and Dana has said this, you want to go make more money? Okay, cool. Go somewhere else. Try your own thing. Like, that's cool. And I think I would be careful by saying that stuff is all I'm saying. Like, because eventually there's going to be a bigger competitor. You know what I mean? Like, there always is an eventual competitor that becomes more problematic than any of the previous competitors. So that's happened in sports and entertainment for a long, long time.
I could go on a rant about how the UFC has done such a great job of controlling everything, which is why they've become a multi-billion dollar company. And it's by paying fighters $600,000 and $500,000. Hey, if you can go make $5 million a fight, go make $5 million a fight.
Yeah.
The question of will he be back? I think he'll be back, because whether you like the way it's run or you don't, whether you like the way the fighters are treated or you don't, that's the major leagues of that sport.
Yeah, but he's also 35 years old, so he's not going to be fighting for that much longer anyway. So that's why I think he's out.
You want to hear really quick this very interesting astronomical stat. The total combined payout for every fighter at UFC 270 was $1.8 million.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then Fury made $30 million in his third fight against Deontay Wilder. Wilder made $20 million in that fight. And the two of those guys combined made 25 times more than all the UFC 270 fighters combined. That's crazy.
That is insanity. But there's a whole lot of reasons as to why that is. You want me to break them all down?
How about this? Save it for the other side, because we've got a break.
It would get long and deep, and it's not
okay,
that interesting.
All right, do it on the other side. We'll slide the LeBron stuff.
I want when you talk about him being passive aggressive. I want that.
That's what I'm going to give you, but we'll just push it aside one more segment to 6 o'clock. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I don't know that I need to do a full breakdown of the difference between
boxing
and UFC.
Okay, but I know, but I know how we do. We're going to start the segment about something else, and then we'll eventually get to you, whatever your take was on the UFC, and then we're not going to get to the LeBron thing there either, so we might as well just say we're going to do it at 6. Okay?
You know, that was a smart idea by you.
Yeah. All right. We got a break. Oh, there you go. The Knight Rider theme. Ooh, there is actually the actual theme. That's like the real one. It's not even just the beat. It's the actual NBC old school Knight Rider intro. Royce Tony tweeted us and said to drop the Knight Rider theme. It was the best of the 80s and gets sampled all the time. It does get sampled. And it was an excellent show. I think if I was ranking those shows of that era, I would definitely do Knight Rider 1. Is that fair? Is that a one seed, Kaplan?
Over the A-Team?
Yeah. I like Knight Rider more than the A-Team.
No, man.
I wanted to be Michael Knight. I even dressed up as Michael Knight as a kid once for Halloween.
You put on like the full fro and like, did you have your shirt on?
No, I just had the leather jacket and the black pants.
Got it.
Black jeans.
No, I'm not putting Knight Rider as a one seed.
No? Okay.
You really think
so
it was
the
that
A-Team
good of a show?
Is your one seed?
I mean, the A-Team was a better show.
I don't know. Debatable. But yeah, the A-Team, Knight Rider, a lot of people were into this and they were tweeting us. And when I say a lot, there were actually multiple. It wasn't like when you say a lot, it's like one person.
When I say a lot, I'm like, look, like millions of people have tweeted me about this, and it's usually only like one person.
Yeah.
But yeah. I always multiply things.
Yeah. You know? Papa Ish tweeted us and said Michael Knight, because I asked earlier, what was Michael Knight? And he said he was a government secret agent, which totally now makes sense. Yes, he was definitely.
He was, really?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I mean, you're disputing it?
No, not disputing it. Just trying to recall it. Kind of like what was Kiefer Sutherland's character's name on 24? Jack, something.
I don't remember. I didn't watch the show like super regularly.
Oh, 24 was amazing.
It was a good show, but yeah.
That's probably the last network television show that I've watched like each week, because Knight Rider and the A-Team back in the 80s. Yeah. You waited for whatever night it was, Tuesday night, Thursday night. You're like, oh, A-Team night. Pizza, Domino's, A-Team. Let's do it.
Yeah. So the plot of Knight Rider was self-made billionaire Wilton Knight rescues police detective Lieutenant Michael Arthur Long after a near-fatal shot to the face, giving him a new identity by plastic surgery and a new name, Michael Knight. Wilton selects Michael to be the primary field agent in a pilot program of his public justice organization, the Foundation for Law and Government, FLAG.
At what point do they tell him, hey, his superpower is we gave him a car that talks to him?
Yeah, and he also was a cop.
He was a cop?
Well, he was. You know,
I didn't know.
Michael Arthur Long, and then he became Michael Knight.
This is history that I did not know.
Well, there you go. He was actually an LAPD cop on the show.
Let's even make it more local.
Initially, you know, and then when he got shot in the face, and then he became Michael Knight.
Oh, I didn't know this. I was like a kid, you know, I didn't realize that he'd gotten shot like that. I didn't realize the violence.
You can just Google. There's that too.
Yep.
Yeah. Find the plot to almost anything there. So anyway, so yes, that Airwolf. Now somebody asked me, Cisco Rocks asked me, Blue Thunder or Airwolf? Are you familiar with Blue Thunder?
No, Blue Thunder.
Another helicopter. What are you, anti-helicopter?
I'm pro-helicopter. I'm definitely pro-helicopter, especially military grade, like helicopters that do all kinds of cool things. I'm pro-helicopter.
Yeah, Blue Thunder was a helicopter. I believe the show was on ABC, I want to say. Didn't last anything but one season. I feel like Airwolf was definitely on way longer than that. So
now it's acceptable to not remember it. It only lasted a season.
Yeah, but it was on ABC. It was a big deal. Dana Carvey was on the show, if I recall correctly.
I did not know that.
And we mentioned Police Academy. Dick, Bubba Smith was on the show too.
Really?
And Dick Butkus.
Bubba and Dick Butkus.
Correct.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like that when old school football players were becoming actors at the time. Now we only have Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah. But Airwolf was on longer. Airwolf was on CBS, and it was on, I want to say, somewhere in USA for sure. But it was on for like 3 or 4 years. So anyway, thank you for bringing all those fun memories back. Someone also mentioned, because we were talking about the Karate Kid and Sweep the Leg. If you're the Rams this time, you're not going to sit there and just kind of, you're going to go Cobra Kai in this situation. And I made a reference to that movie. So someone said that the Rams should be more like No Retreat, No Surrender, which is the original Jean-Claude Van Damme movie that I saw him in, but he was a bad guy in the movie.
Jean-Claude was like, a bad guy?
Yeah, he was a bad guy. He was like the bad guy in No Retreat, No Surrender, and he was also in, like, he was in the fight in the end, and like in the warm-up in the fight in the ring, he did like his famous split, mm-hmm. and he did it, you know, in between the ring ropes. He's just like got his arms crossed, and he's like split in the
ring. Oh, I remember that one. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
But I just didn't know which movie it was from. I didn't know he was ever a bad guy.
No Retreat, No Surrender. Yeah, the original one. All right, real quick. Go ahead. Give me your UFC take. Go before we go. We got 2 minutes. Go.
The question was, why are the UFC fighters paid $600,000 and $500,000 for a heavyweight main event, whereas heavyweight boxers will make $25 or $30 million for that? And that's what the UFC has done. They have branded themselves as a league, no different than the NBA or the NFL. And the fighters are employees. It's different when it's boxing and it's an independent promoter, or in some cases you're signing on with a streaming service like Canelo did with that huge thing that he signed with DAZN. So boxers are unregulated, if you will, and UFC fighters are hyper-regulated by the league itself. Does that make sense?
No, I understand that. But yeah, I mean, what needed to happen, to your point, if they want to become like boxers, they need to kind of do their own individual promotions.
Well, right. But the problem is that UFC is by far and away the Major League Baseball.
Oh, no, I totally agree.
And that's the problem.
I think, right. And there's Bellator and these other things that they're more, you know, they're not as, PFL. They're not considered the quote unquote major leagues. I would agree with that. But what I would say is, if you're some of these guys who are tired of, for one reason or another, you don't want to work for Dana anymore because of the compensation or whatever it is that you're upset about, start your own thing. Like, I'm not, by the way, I'm not defending Dana. But what I'm saying is, free enterprise. Take him up on his offer. He says, start your own thing. Like, you don't think, now, Conor McGregor now is a bad example because, you know, he's not the Conor McGregor he
no,
was
but it
anymore.
Takes that sort of cachet.
No, but right, correct. And he did that. He did the celebrity boxing thing with Mayweather, which was, I got it, got paid. If what I would have done if I were Conor McGregor, instead of coming back to the UFC, I would have found another UFC like guy to fight, right? And been like, look, let's do our own thing and get into business with, like, if I were De La Hoya or Mayweather or these guys, I would try to get, like, a super fight, an MMA super fight going.
Well, rather than, if you're McGregor, do it yourself, you combine forces with an Oscar, and you say you're already in the promotion business.
Or Mayweather, because he's already worked with Mayweather. But yeah, I get your point. Right, exactly.
You promote the fight. We'll make
more
money.
Right. Yeah. All right, we got to go to break. We're up against it. LeBron's doing passive-aggressive things, which we kind of love around here. So we'll tell you what that is next.